welcome to episode 5 of 400 Thoughts. I am the driver, and this is the 5th episode, I believe, of 400 Thoughts. So let's get started. I've been thinking, I try to make this as improvised as possible, and thinking before getting out of the house, you know, what the heck am I going to be talking about? And the only thing that I've really kind of been thinking about the last few days is this video I watched with Elon Musk. Talking about his company Neuralink and its possibilities, its capabilities, what he hopes it will be and what he believes it can do already. And it's kind of hard to take Elon Musk seriously sometimes because he does kind of overpromise things a little bit. Mainly, I think, with timelines. I think he actually does deliver on some of the actual ideas or things that he has. And it's kind of actually pretty interesting because he's a pretty good example of somebody that has a crazy idea. Somehow he gets the backers, the finances to produce whatever his idea is, and then it manifests itself. He creates an electric car that, from what I've seen, a lot of people really enjoy. And in the area that I live, I don't live in an extremely affluent area, but between Alpharetta and Milton and other parts of northern Georgia, there's quite a few Teslas I see being driven on 400 and 85. I don't drive a Tesla. I think that'd be pretty cool if I did. I do not drive a Tesla. I have probably something pretty close on the other end of the spectrum as far as a Tesla being like a 10. I'm around a 3. I think a 1 would probably be like a radio flyer wagon with a motor on the back or something. But they look like pretty interesting cars, and he's like, hey, I can make a electric car that isn't lame, and he did it, so that's pretty cool. And when I was watching this video on Neuralink, I thought, what if he actually pulls off what he's trying to do? How crazy would that be? So he wants to heal all brain and neurological problems, like MS, Alzheimer's, any degenerative diseases in the brain, by supplementing them with technology. Wants to, same thing with spinal cord injuries. So if somebody's paralyzed because of a spinal cord injury, he wants to use the devices that he's creating with Neuralink to fix those. So fix paralysis, like cure paralysis. It's pretty incredible if that actually is possible. If he gets approval from the FDA to do human trials and actually ends paralysis, you hear, I mean, heck, what if, forgot his name. The actor who played Superman in the original, well, not the original, but the Superman movies from the 70s. Christopher Reeves. So Christopher Reeves had this. I'm not sure how many more Superman movies he could have made or when he actually received that injury from falling off the horse. But, I mean, that's crazy to imagine somebody with MS or somebody, maybe everybody. I know somebody that had Alzheimer's. What if you could fix that? What if there was a cure? And cures are pretty interesting because they kind of just change things. You take it for granted. Like in the last few years, they've done trials on different vaccinations and different treatments to pretty much almost there cure AIDS. Not really cure AIDS, but provide treatment options for people that are HIV positive to get very similar results to Magic Johnson, where if he got tested, his test would come back negative for HIV. So, and that was a big deal back in the day. And now, the way they've made medical advances, we've pretty much cured the thing almost. And that's pretty incredible. You can imagine the vaccinations and treatments that people had developed between, say, the 1920s and the early 21st century, of all the different things that children died from or afflicted from, or all the different conditions that were commonplace back then that are unheard of right now, and how nobody really, maybe because of my lifestyle or how I view things, there's a lot of things that I can imagine I take for granted. But things are just not issues anymore for certain, I'm not going to say everywhere, but certainly in America, that things that just aren't problems anymore. And that would be pretty interesting to be on quote off Neuralink. And it kind of reminds me of how I listened to a program for Freakonomics a while back about wizards and prophets and futurism. So people that are the wizards are the ones that are kind of the tech geniuses, the ones that say we can solve this problem with this gizmo that I'm going to invent. I'm going to create a device that will solve this problem, whether it's a water filtration system, an air purification system, or even like an iPhone. An iPhone's pretty, would seem pretty frivolous, but think about all the different technologies that are balled up into iPhones or smartphones in general, and then applying different apps to that. Your phone is now many, many things. Oh, it's a flashlight. That's interesting. It's a camera. It's a camcorder. It's a podcast recording device. It can do many, many different things that large amounts of other material had to do separately. I can't remember the author's name now. He's Greek. I'll put it in the show notes, but one of the ways he was talking about how technology changes, and I think he has several D's that mark the way things advance, and one of the D's stood for dematerialization. So you had a camcorder, you had a flashlight, you had a game system, you had all these different devices, and now you have a smartphone that does all of them. So you're not really, as technology improves and can do more things, you're actually using less materials, even though people would imagine that if you have a higher population, you have a higher technology requirement, that you're using more raw materials. Then actually that's not the case. You're actually using a lot less raw materials because you're having devices and technologies do several different things. And they're also getting smaller as well with the technology. So you're using less materials. You're using less materials that will accomplish more things in general, which is pretty interesting, I think. I think it's pretty cool. And then you have people like... So those are the wizards. The prophets are the prophets of doom, more or less. In the 1960s and 70s, the world population is going to hit 17 trillion, bazillion, and we're all going to starve to death. And that ended up not happening, even though population did increase several billion since then. The mass starvation panics that people were having didn't really occur because of the Green Revolution in India and other places where fertilizers and farming technology or techniques were improved to a point where if somebody says there's not enough food in the world to feed people, it's simply not true in any way provable. We are producing far more calories for every single individual on Earth than is required. The issue isn't, is there enough food? The issue is, how do we get the food to the people? We have a lot of land, not a lot of farmers, but a lot of land and a lot of food. We just need to get the food to the people. So you have the prophets of doom that say this is the problem, and you have the wizards that will attempt to solve the problem many times aren't successful. You kind of have to skirt kind of what your views are and who you believe. So I'd say a prophet of doom would be like Al Gore and the different Inconvenient Truth movies. I haven't seen the second one. I saw the first one in high school. They showed it to us. A little disappointed, actually, because he gave all the information, and at the end, he didn't really offer a lot of solutions. Maybe that was in different literature that he provided afterwards about like what the solution is. But the majority of it was, this is all bad, this is all bad, this is all bad. So it's okay, serving the purpose of the prophet to say, you know, all these things are going to happen if we don't stop things. And then you have the wizards who say, okay, well, boom, I invented the Tesla, or I'm going to improve energy-efficient commercial appliances like HVAC systems, so they require less energy and their outputs are more significant. Or you have cities like, I'm not sure if it's Cobb County, Atlanta, or Atlanta specifically. I know there's certain codes regarding the construction of parking garages that require currently, or maybe in the next few years, it might be currently. No, it's not currently. I can't be right, but in the next few years, requiring that 20% of all parking deck or parking lot spots will be electric vehicle enabled, so they'll have an electric source there to charge their vehicles. That's 20% that they're requiring for building code to have to make available for people, which is pretty cool, because it's not forcing people to buy electric cars. It's maybe optimistic that in the next few years, 20% of people that would use those parking decks or those parking lots would have electric vehicles, and they're just trying to get ahead of the curve, and maybe they might increase those numbers later. Or even people that are designing parking decks or parking lots that are more useful, because it's a lot of land used that kind of goes wasted or unused besides like major sporting events or something like that. So how to make those more, how to make the parking decks and parking lots work for people. Let's put solar panels on them, or let's put grass on them, or let's put different things on them, or use them for things so that they'll be more efficient or provide something besides just taking up space. So those kind of ideas are interesting. And those, I'm not sure if I would classify that as wizards, but they're at least people that are trying to optimize land or resources right now to benefit things. I know for me, I definitely, when I retire, I want a house that has freaking solar panel roof shingles. I think Mr. Musk says that he's either close to or at a matching price point for just traditional shingles. So if I got my retirement house to work for me and produce all the electricity I need just by being a house, just by being roof, that'd be pretty cool. I think that'd be pretty neat, and I want that to happen. But you have your wizards, and you have your prophets of doom, and they're kind of, I guess, required to play off each other to motivate the wizards, or at least make something known to the wizards, so they know what problems to solve. Or you have people like Elon Musk that are solving problems. Kind of quote Mark said, solving problems that aren't problems yet, but that he believes to be problems. So being the dual prophet and wizard in that situation, where he's fairly disturbed by the advancements in AI and what that will mean for humans. And so I think one of the tasks, or one of the missions or goals of Neuralink, is to eventually merge AI technology, AI algorithms, and that sort of intelligence with the human body. I don't really even know what that means. I think it sounds pretty sci-fi, but then when I watched the presentation that that he gave a few days ago, they're doing some pretty crazy stuff. They're doing some very interesting stuff just in the fact of manufacturing. Like, they're able to make these wires that are packed with so much technology, and they're thinner than the human hair. And how are we going to be able to install this into a human? Well, you're not going to be able to install it. We know that a robot will have to install it, so we went ahead and, you know, invented a surgical robot that will install this into the brain as well. Like, it's pretty crazy stuff, pretty interesting stuff. And I don't know what that's going to mean for us in the future. I don't know if that means, like, you won't need a phone anymore, that you'll just be able to, say there's an argument at work about what actor was in this movie, or you're curious about what actor is, you know, could you access IMDb or Google just by your thoughts, and then attain that information by linking your brain to the internet to provide you that information? Like, what would that be? Would that be somehow connecting the links in your brain to your visual cortexes, your eyes, so that you could actually see a separate screen somehow that doesn't really exist, but you're able to see it, that'll show you the answer, or will be the answers are provided by some non-visual means for you to get that information? It's very, very crazy stuff. It's very interesting, but you say it's crazy now. You know, a cure for AIDS 10 years ago would have been pretty crazy, or at least ambitious. But it's kind of happening. It's kind of here. A lot of people have been talking about the next phase in engineering and innovation is going to be built on the foundation of the new released 5G signaling technology, the a communication technology that you'll be able to push out more bandwidth and instantaneously to communicate with different technologies that will provide more information. I don't know. I have a hard enough time at work getting one bar. I know that's not synonymous with G as far as like 3G, 4G, 5G, but man, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means when, like, for example, I got young kids right now. I have a few young children. Thinking about, you know, do you save money? Do you put money aside right now in a kind of, you know, their car fund? Do you save up, say if I saved $4,000 to help them purchase a used car when they turn 16? Well, I don't know what cars are going to look like in 15 years. They might be not crazy different. I don't think we're going to have hover cars. But, you know, what are the cars going to be like? Will my child need a driver's license? Is that going to be a requirement? Or in the next 15 years, are they going to crack the code on completely autonomous vehicles where the driver's seat is turned around facing backwards and there's more or less just like a coffee table or a small circular ring of chairs in a vehicle, and you get in your vehicle and you drive to work by setting your coordinates and you just go there. You have kind of little pods of vehicles that are linked with some sort of signal. So you see trains of separate cars kind of almost moving in a subway-like fashion until they meet an intersection and then they diverge. Like, what does that mean for stoplights? Are we going to still have stoplights, or are we just going to have cars that don't require stoplights and they just kind of navigate their terrain by communicating to each other? It's pretty interesting stuff. I'm kind of excited about it. Alright, so what is this episode even about? So I would say this episode's about kind of foolish optimism and curiosity for how things are going to be in the future. Neuralink looks very interesting. Neuralink looks like it could potentially change the human species. Or maybe it doesn't at all. Maybe it's a crazy idea that a very wealthy person who's been decently successful with other things, but, you know, I choose optimism. I choose problem solving. I choose to be excited about the different ideas that are coming out and the potential for what they might bring. You know, I haven't been following religiously the different things that SpaceX has been doing, but I've seen a few videos where their Falcon rockets are landing vertically on platforms, and we'll have like two or three of them landing at the exact same time on different platforms on different places in the world. And it's crazy. Like, how is that even possible? It just seems like crazy sci-fi stuff from the 50s and 60s that looks really fake and was obviously like a Roman candle with some cardboard spray paint on it. And now that's a thing. Now rockets are landing themselves in a vertical position and being reused. It's wild. It's pretty cool. And I don't know. I'm pretty excited to see what the future will bring. And I choose that over the, did you just see what's on the news? You know, the almost exhausting fashion of how news, like I just recently, obviously for the podcast, got back onto Twitter that had been on for quite some time. And depending on who you follow or how you kind of choose what news you get, it can be a little exhausting. Like, did you hear what so-and-so did or said they were going to do, and this person hates this person, and this person said they were going to kill this person, and this person doesn't like this person enough that they're getting death threats. This celebrity's being crazy, and this politician is being unreasonable, and all this sort of stuff. And meanwhile, we're thinking about merging AI with the human brain. It's almost like there's two different worlds. I mean, there are two different worlds of people operating. You have people that are just, all right, you guys do you. I'm going to invent this crazy thing. And I kind of would like to choose the mindset of not being exhausted, not getting downtrodden by the negative things in the news or the bad things in the news. Like, recently, Dave Rubin hosted an interview with Marion Williamson, the Democratic presidential nominee, a pretty interesting lady. And she said, you know, what a lot of people say in the news and just in general, things are very bad right now, and I have plans to fix this. And Dave responded with, what are you talking about? Things have never been better. Never. There's never been a time in human history when things have been so good. There's less poverty. There's more food. There's more employment. There's just everything is better, and it's continued to get better. And her point was, yes, but there's still people in the margins that are having terrible, you know, living conditions, and I want to help them, which is totally fine. And I don't think you'd disagree with that. But things are seeming to get gradually better significantly. Now, if an asteroid hits us and kills us all, yeah, sure. But kind of having that Steven Pinker mindset of things are improving, there is less violence, there is less war, there are less things being bad in the world. We just have to maintain that momentum. We have to find ways to maintain civilization and kind of have that hope and that optimism that was required in previous generations. This month marks the 50th anniversary of the Apollo missions, man landing on the moon. And I've heard many interviews of people that just knew that was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a shock. Like, they just woke up one day and, oh my gosh, why are we on the moon? That's crazy. We got a guy on the moon. It was a decade of hard work and failure and tragedy and death and optimism, and we pulled it off. By the time we pulled it off, there were so many missions and so many steps that got us to that point that it's kind of like, you know, it's LeBron James. Maybe that's a dated reference. Maybe whoever's the amazing athlete at the time, were they surprised they got a gold medal? Well, they shouldn't have been if they made all the steps and completed all the different things. You know, you don't have somebody that walks on spring training, throw 105 fastball, and then all of a sudden they get the I can't remember the pitching award called whatever it is. That doesn't really happen. You have people that do things incrementally. You have incrementalism where things just get there. You don't just get a cure for HIV. You don't just get, or at least a treatment that can make it, you know, not go to AIDS. You don't just get the Tesla Roadster. You don't just get these things. There's people that are working diligently to bring about these crazy things, and it's exciting. It's awesome. I guess I'll just maybe close the message for this podcast with, you know, smile. It's Friday, the weekend. Things are getting better. You can join and be a part of that. Make your own moonshot. Think about a technology or a system or a book you want to write or a community you want to shape. And fix it. You see something, say something, do something. Totally changing the NSA motto, or not the motto, but the catchphrase. You see something, say something. But things are kind of getting better, you know. Smile. Tomorrow's Saturday. Tomorrow we're gonna have fully autonomous vehicles. We're gonna have crazy things like British Petroleum being the largest provider of alternative energy. We're going to have very interesting things, and it's not a kind of crazy idea to think about things changing, because they are. We're getting better aircraft, we're getting better cell phones, we're getting better vehicles, we're getting better roads, we're getting a lot of things that are better. And as long as we keep that momentum, as long as we allow entrepreneurs, private businesses, and, you know, have government support for changing things, I don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. It's exciting. So I'm going to err on the side of optimism. There are going to be some very, very strange show notes for this episode, because I don't know really where it went, what the thread was, but I guess I'm optimistic. I think you should be too. I think there's a lot of very interesting things that are going to come out in the next 1 year, the next 5 years. We might go to Mars in the next 8 years, but just smile. Things are looking up. Get excited. If you want to message this podcast, you can email me, the driver, at 400thoughts, and then a dot or a period, thedriver@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at 400thoughts, at 400thoughts on Twitter. I think we have five followers right now, so that's extremely exciting. Let's make it 10 by next Friday. Gone ahead and ordered the microphone. It should be coming in tomorrow, so by next Friday, after playing with it a little bit, hopefully the audio is a little bit cleaner. And if you have have any ideas, thoughts, suggestions, go ahead and tweet me or email and that email provided. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Look forward to talking to you next week.